Hi, welcome to the DeviantArt Podcast. My name is Matt Buchholz. I'm your host. You may know me as Gigi Matt B. And today we've got with us a very special guest whose artwork literally glitters and sparkles. Let's give a warm welcome to Seraph Luhr. Welcome.
Yay.
How are you doing today?
I'm nervous.
It's okay. We're going to have a great one. I see lots of people tuning in from the Philippines saying hey and hi.
Hi.
That's exciting. Oh, and thank you for staying up so late or being up so early over there. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's already 2 a.m.
Yeah. So diehard over there. That's great. Thank you for joining us, though. It really does mean a lot for you to be able to join us and for us to get to talk to you about your artwork. It's something that we appreciate so much. All right. Well, hey, I would love it if, let's just start with, when did you start making art?
Oh, I started drawing when I was 6. Mm-hmm. It's because of Sailor Moon. Yeah. Also because I have a lot of collection of paper dolls. So I started copying like how paper dolls like... The appearance of paper dolls, like they are like straight like that with the gowns. Wedding peach. Yeah, like wedding peach. Like there's a lot of wedding peach paper dolls. So I tried drawing them because it's easy. Like the gown is like this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like so easy to draw like the, just the face and then the gown like that. So it's like, you know, very easy to copy. Yeah.
I've always wanted to do a paper doll campaign at DeviantArt where people just draw the outfits. I think it would be so much fun.
Oh, no!
Well, I just love design so much. And you actually went through like fashion school, right?
Yeah. I took a Bachelor of Science Entrepreneurship minor in fashion design.
That's so cool. So how did you go from being 6 and loving Sailor Moon to going to fashion school? What was your thought process there?
At first, I really didn't intend to took up entrepreneurship because there's not really much art schools when during my time.
Mm-hmm.
So I just chose because there's fashion design, so okay, I just like choose this one. But then entrepreneurship really helped me with my career today because of the conventions and stuff, so, because it's related to business. So, yeah.
Yeah, it definitely helps you like learn what to latch on to, what to focus on, how to market yourself, all those amazing things that are important to any artist right now, especially during a time where it's so digital.
Yeah.
So one thing that I love seeing in the chat, everyone down beneath is just going off about how much they love Sailor Moon and Wedding Peach. Everyone is so excited.
Yeah,
and how much they love
mustache.
Your art. Oh, the mustache gets a lot of attention. One of these days it's going to be gone and the chat's just going to be quiet. But something that I do want to say is at the end of this podcast, we are going to ask a few questions from the audience. We collected a few already from Instagram. So if you have any questions, put them in the chat. We have producers who are going to write them all down and send them to me so that I can ask them at the end. So make sure to ask your questions in the chat. Thank you for joining us, everyone that's in the chat. Yeah, I'm excited to see all these people. So a thing that we talked about earlier this week when we chatted was that JRPGs really played a lot into you getting started in art.
Yeah.
What JRPGs do you love?
First of all, I started playing JRPG when I was 9. And that first JRPG game is Final Fantasy IX.
Final Fantasy IX was a good one. I think when I started playing JRPGs, Final Fantasy was still just Final Fantasy because it was the only one that existed. I am very old.
I don't want to say what...
But Final Fantasy IX was so good and there was such a fantastical design to that. And so that played its way into you wanting to create art, correct? And doing that more and more.
Actually, it was Shadow Hearts Covenant that really started me to dream about having my own JRPG game. So it's like after playing that game makes me feel like it inspired me to create my own. And like the characters, the environment, the theme, it really like inspired me to I want to do that. I want to do that as well. So
yeah. And so when you were enjoying those JRPGs, was it the character designs that you really latched onto? Was it the worlds? Was it a bit of everything?
The world is based on like the real world. The setting is during World War One, but it has also like a different like they made a twist of with the with what really happened in the history. So you know, I really just find it awesome.
That's really cool. So once you decided that you wanted to kind of create your own JRPG or your own characters, what were the first steps that you took to making those characters?
I really thought of like doing artworks, the style of semi-realistic, because I thought that having semi-realistic style will get me to that job of being a character designer or game developer. I really didn't know that before, like because I don't have that much knowledge with that kind of stuff. So my goal was to have the semi-realistic style.
And that semi-realistic style is what you're known for a lot of the time, is like that real beautiful, like very like just gorgeous, pretty art, like in the best way. Like, and you have like such a glow to it as well. There's a celestial quality, like very universe and cosmos mixed in with everything you design. What brought you to kind of want to take it into that? Like right now you're doing the astrological signs as characters. What intrigued you about that?
Well, because I really love anything as galaxy, astrology, and I'm seeing also a lot of like astrology artworks. So I thought that why don't I make my own astrology sign artworks? But because I haven't seen any portrait types of zodiac sign artworks, so I did my own, like just headshots like that. Yeah. And
that's awesome. And so oh sorry, go ahead.
I don't know, it's okay.
Well, I was just gonna say, like you've almost hit the entire zodiac at this point, right? Like your gallery is filling up fast. Do you have any future plans for those characters and those original characters?
Yeah, I planned on making an art book about the zodiac sign of my zodiac sign series. I titled it Asteria Realm, and I already created the goddesses Ceres and Astral, and then the other one is the main character will be Asteria.
Mm. That'll be cool. And so when you're converting or adapting the star signs into characters and making these original characters, how do you find the inspiration to pivot from something that we kind of know, the constellation or the personality types of those signs, and make them into a character? Like what sort of path do you take from one to the other?
I research about each zodiac sign, like for example, what are their traits or elements, and then I design them depending on what they are. For example, like Aquarius, I did the hair flow, like, you know, water or air, because Aquarius sign is air. Like some people mistaken it as water, like they thought it's a water sign, but it's an air sign. And for the color of her hair, I mixed the colors of the birthstones of Aquarius.
Mm.
And yeah, it takes a lot of brainstorming. And oh yeah, especially the mask. Like the mask is like a pot. And like the water is like flowing, and then I made them as crystals.
That's yeah. really cool. That's so much fun. And are you looking to build out a world around them as well?
Yeah. I wanted to, I plan to create environmental artworks and concept design. For example, like the outfits, like full body outfits, and then also comics about them, like short comics about them. Yeah.
That's awesome. So for when we talked earlier this week, we talked a little bit about how even building these things, you're setting goals for how you want to go about this and how you want to accomplish like putting out this art book. So I know a lot of people in the chat and a lot of people that I've talked to online have said, you know, I'm an artist and I'm very creative, but I don't know how to, you know, get to the end of something. And I think a problem that a lot of artists have is they start working on a piece and they never know when to finish it, right? There's always that one thing that you can polish a little bit more or do a little bit more editing on. So how can an artist set a goal like you do with your book so that they can complete their projects?
It really take us like, I think about 2 years, 2 to 3 years. Like you have to set the goal like, oh, I have to finish this, for example, this art book for 2 years, something like that, because like you have to plan it carefully, and there's no rush. I think not rushing your project will just not result any like the result will not be that good. Oh, also I Daniel Kamarudin, me and Daniel we are also planning on doing bust statues of all zodiacs.
Oh, that's really cool.
I think they've already seen like the first three that we did.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So how do you find the balance between when to finish something and when to not rush?
Balance the, because I think that if the project is really big, I think that should not be rushed. They have to be careful with what you create on that, because that will be your big project and it will be very meaningful to you. I don't know, it's like it will be a big part of your life.
Yeah.
It will be the accomplishment.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, art is, you know, finishing a piece can take a year. Like finishing a piece can take longer than that sometimes. And you know, making sure that you're happy with it. You don't want to spend that much time and then be sad, but there's also finding that perfect balance, like you said, of this is done and like now I can move on, and I'm setting that realistic expectation for when I can finish it.
Yeah.
So another thing that I'd like to talk about as far as goals go is for artistic growth and like trying to find ways to be more strategic about how to grow with your art. So how would you say that someone might be able to improve if they have some sort of art that they aren't comfortable with or some part of design that they're not comfortable with? And how could they be more planning and setting goals to get better at it?
I think because there are times that we have this art block, and there are times that we lose confidence with what we do. I think that's normal. It happens to all of us. And what we should do is to look for more inspiration. There's especially now because of the internet nowadays, like there's so much more artworks, like new artworks or old artworks that we can see immediately. And you know, we can search for more inspiration, for example, like fantasy. Mm-hmm. Like fantasy artworks, so we can search for those artworks that we want to achieve, and then like find inspiration from that. And
so something I love is you're saying even at your skill level, someone that's as amazing at art as you are, you still have art block now and again. You still search for inspiration. You still are handling all those things the same way that I think a lot of artists do.
Yeah, and also, of course, I still have weaknesses, especially anatomy.
Anatomy is a challenging thing. Same with perspective. My perspective is horrible. Everything I draw looks very 2D and very weird. So when you have something like anatomy, how do you go about improving on that? What sort of studies or practices do you do to improve your own art?
Like gesture art. I mean, gesture poses, dynamic poses. I think also the basic structure of like how the body works. But there are times that I really want to like make the waist really small or like boobs really big. I think that's just what I wanted to do.
Well, there's a mix of being stylistic and a mix of reality, and finding that blend of what works for you is important. Yeah. That's what makes it art, right? Otherwise, it's just a photograph, or not that photos aren't art, but it's just a replica. So I think I've seen so many posts, even in the questions we got yesterday. I think we got at least 10 to 15 questions about art block. What would you say your number one way when you are stuck on something that you get out of that sort of a block or that sort of a rut?
I think it's to do other things that you love. For example, like my like video games, like I play video games. That's where I get my inspiration from. So while I play video games that I really love, the inspiration comes back, like my motivation comes back. It's like my goal, like it reminds me of my goal. It's like I really want to do my own like JRPG game someday, or maybe like you have to be realistic, right? Like or more on like comics, like the world that I've been like creating it ever since I was young. So yeah.
So finding those comfort things. So a question I have to ask, because you just did a full full KDA series. Sorry to interrupt, but your KDA series is so amazing. So do you play League as well? Or is that something where the design is something that you just love?
Oh yeah, because I really love the design of like the League of Legends characters, and especially the KDA ones. So I tried doing that. And also, because I rarely do backgrounds, so I also try doing the background as well on that piece.
That's right. You were talking about that. You've been working on trying to push yourselves to do more environmental and more background pieces, more depth in your piece too. So how do you, like for you, where you're at like such a high skill level, like you're up here. I can't even measure it on my screen how like good you are at art. How do you go about tackling something where you're not as confident in it? What sort of steps do you take to not get discouraged when you're working on something where you don't feel as confident?
I always just remind myself to reach my goal, and by practicing my weakness, by acknowledging my weaknesses, and you know, like practice even little by little, because we pressure ourselves that I have to get better, like you know, I have to level up that so high, like in just a short time. But I don't know, we shouldn't pressure ourselves too much, and because we compare ourselves to others, like those who are really good at art, there are times that we compare ourselves, and yeah, that's normal, but at the same time we should avoid comparing ourselves too much from others, because you know, that's not healthy. Like we should take care of our mental health, like mental well-being.
That's very important. Yeah. And like you were touching on earlier, in the time that we're in, it's never been easier to see art everywhere, right? Like we're in a very digital time. where you can find art from anyone, anywhere. And it can be very discouraging to see someone who's a really amazing artist. But something I think is helpful is when we talk with a very amazing artist like yourself, you know, we get to see that there are also things that you struggle with or that you're working on, so that all the artists who are putting in their own work and their own practice feel a little less like, you know, the mountain isn't as high or as impossible anymore when we know that everyone is putting in that time and that work.
I really think that it's really possible for us to reach the level that we want to, as long as we, you know, we focus on, you know, getting better. It's not that impossible if we really put our heart into it, like if we believe in ourselves. Believe in ourselves is like, they sometimes we underestimate that, you know, that phrase, like, you should believe in yourself, like, no, it's like, yeah, but it's really important. And especially you should think about the people that supports you, even if they're just your family or friends. It's a start.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said about having that confidence. And even if you don't have it, pushing yourself out of that comfort zone to obtain it later. Like, this is a thing that we've talked about, not only for like the backgrounds and building out stuff where you're not as confident in art, but also doing stuff like coming on a podcast. Like, that's fairly new. And you're doing amazing. Look at you
it's
already.
My first time. That's why it's buried me. English is not my first language.
You're killing it. You're doing so amazing. Look at this. Like, you had that confidence and now you're able to do this, which is great. We're so happy and like honored to have you here.
Of course,
we've been wanting to work with you forever. It's such a joy. So how would you say that artists or people who want to create or anyone should look at pushing themselves out of their comfort zones to improve?
I think you should think of what the weaknesses that you have are, the ones that you don't really usually do, and then challenge yourself. Say, oh, I think I should do this because I don't usually, like, for example, like for me in backgrounds, like, okay, I should challenge myself, because that's also another way of like broadening your horizons and like attaining new skills. Like, also like another example is to do 3D or something like that.
Yeah, do something completely different and really mix it up. One of the things that I love is I have a lot of people that I talk to who will do something like that. They go very far outside what they're doing, and they'll do sculpture or 3D or traditional painting. And they're able to learn so much more about what they were doing, whether it's digital painting or whatever. They're able to bring something new from that. And they get like a whole new perspective and a whole new set of motivation and excitement. Also, something that you had said and that I want to just reiterate is making sure that you look at your journey. Don't just judge where you're at now, but look at how far you've come.
What that I said about not comparing ourselves to with others, like, we should compare ourselves from our past selves, like, from, for example, for like, we should compare like our past artworks from our recent artworks, like, see what see the improvement that you have. Like, even if it's just, you know, like small improvements, like, you have to appreciate those little improvements that you achieve, because you know, like, step by step, like, one step at a time, you know.
Yeah, and I think it's important, like you said, to focus on those small things too. Don't say like, my art needs to be better. say, I'm going to work on this aspect. I'm going to work on this aspect. Find your mini goals to build up to the full picture.
Yes.
So I want to go back just a minute to your star sign series. And I know that's a quick pivot, but we're going to go back there because it's something that I think is so cool. Because a lot of artists, especially in recent years, we've been seeing their original characters do more and more. I honestly think that there's never been a better time for original characters to really just be out there and be accepted and exciting and fun to share. And you've been working on the Star Sign series for like 4 years now, more than that?
Yeah, 2016.
Which is incredible. So when you started, did you think that you would be getting this far with them?
At first, like, I just intended to create all the Sojak, like just the 12 of them. And then I thought that, oh, why don't I make a North Constellation and South Constellation goddesses? So after like years goes by, it's like I'm like adding more characters, like the world is like getting bigger and bigger.
Do you ever feel like you're almost like living with these characters now, like they're actual people that you've been able to kind of get to know?
Yeah. But that's so amazing. I'm more of the other story that I created when I was young. It's like that's more important to me. But I feel like I needed more time to make it a reality. So I'm doing this Asteria Realm world first, just to and it's like sort of a practice as well.
That's important. Practice is really, practice is really essential. I mean, even when you hear, like, I'm in Los Angeles, so a lot of the stuff that we deal with is film. And you hear a lot of directors, their first film is more a, this is what the studio wants, here's me proving that I can do this. And then the second one is that one that they really love and is their passion project, because now they've been able to put in that time and show what they can do. And so it's very cool hearing that you're doing similar with your original worlds and original characters. Can you give us a little insight on that one, or do you not want to share any of that yet? Is it?
You
don't have to share it if it's a secret.
Okay, I'll give up like a clue. It's like similar to JRPG games, like Shadow Hearts and Final Fantasy. Yeah, it's related to that kind of setting.
And I can go ahead and say to everyone that it will probably look gorgeous and have probably some sparkles in there. It's going to be great. I'm very excited to see what happens with that. So what I would love is for people in chat, if you've got any original characters or original worlds, I want to see what you guys have come up with as well. Put it in the chat so that we can see this as we're talking, because I just love, I know I'm not supposed to be distracted by what's down there, but I love seeing it come through and see like everyone be so excited about what they're creating too. So what are some steps then, without telling us anything about what's in the new one, what are some learnings that you've already had with your Star Sign series that you're going to apply to your new series?
It's more on concept design, because I'm more on like character designing, so it really helped me with how I should do concepts. Yeah.
So if someone out there who's putting, like we see now the different OCs and different worlds are starting to come up, if they want to create their own world and their own original characters, what sort of things when they start should they be trying to lock down so that they're successful when they create their worlds?
I think it should be consistent, and the signs should be unique, and that's it. That's what I've learned so far.
I mean, that's important. You want to have something where when you look at it, you know right away what you're getting into, right? You want to have that sort of consistency across everything, because if one character is all the way over here and all the rest are over here, character doesn't feel like they're part of that world. You got to have everything joined in. So having that overall thought of what happens in this world, what exists there, all those things are essential to locking it in before you really get going.
Yes.
How important do you think it is to be able to change partway through? Like when you come up with an idea, if you realize it's not working, how important is it to be able to adapt and change things?
I think there are not much moments that I scrap previous designs or what. I think because it's like whenever I come up with a design, I'm satisfied.
You've already got them locked in, but you do so much planning ahead of time.
That's the thing. Like planning, like takes so much time. That's why it's like I just like put them in one, you know.
So when you do create a piece, like let's take it out of the OC realm and just go into the artwork that we see you post a lot. How long does an average piece take you, and how much do you spend on that sort of prepping time?
Before it really, my artworks really takes a lot of time before my first few artworks that I did. For example, the 2011 artworks takes me like 20 hours or like 15 to 20 hours. But those artworks before, if I do that now, it will take me just for like 5 hours. So it really, when you really draw for a long time, you will be able to draw faster, like without knowing it. So I think that's what new artists are worried about, because they think that they should draw faster, or they think that they should draw faster but at the same time looks like really good. But they should focus on making good artwork first, and they shouldn't think about the time that they spend.
Mm-hmm.
For their
making that final product,
yeah,
something that you love. Yeah. Well, awesome. Thank you so much for sharing all of that. Like, you've given such great insight today so far. Like, thank you. So something I would love to do is right now, I'm going to just remind people that there is a caption contest for a piece of your art that people, we've got a link in our bio on Instagram. And if you click that, you can go through and if you leave a caption, you'll be entered for your chance to win a Wacom One drawing tablet. So that'll be great. Help level up your art, give you something to play with, learn a new skill, all the good things. So do that. And also, like, let's start answering some questions from people, because we got some good ones and I don't want them to miss out. So like, if you have any questions, audience, make sure to post them in the comments below so that we can answer them right now. But we're going to start going through some of these so that we can help answer questions that you guys asked. All right. You ready for these?
Okay.
All right. So let's see. All right. What motivates you to draw, and does it come naturally, was asked by Vaxstar11. So when you're drawing, do you have to be in a certain mood, or do you like have to pump yourself up to get ready to go?
It really depends, because like you should discipline yourself. I think that's the important thing, because it's not always you have to be motivated, because that doesn't always come to you. So especially when you're a freelancer, like you have to do like schedule, like you have to schedule yourself to draw. So if I want to be whenever I draw, like I listen to music that I like, that's so to make me, you know, like to make me hype while, you know, like while drawing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, Lone Levy, we've seen you posting a million times. What sort of hurdles did you face in your art journey? What sort of challenges did you face in your art journey from when you started to now?
Challenges like not being able to draw regularly the way that I want to, like also I mean, because of like personal stuff and all. So I wasn't able to practice that much with anatomy or backgrounds, and that's why that's one of my weaknesses, like the anatomy. So until now.
So then how did you find time to set aside for your art? How did you find ways to make that a priority for you?
How do I sorry?
Oh no, so you said one of your challenges was not having the time that you wanted to put in for art.
And due to like personal circumstances
what sort of ways did you find ways to make time for art as you moved on?
It's like sacrifices, I guess.
Yeah, it's very real. I mean, especially once it becomes your job, like it becomes very hard to make those times too. But I think that the time you put in definitely paid off, because your art is so gorgeous. I always can't get over like how great your artwork looks. And again, we're so excited to have you here, and the chat is so excited to have you here. I see those hearts just like constantly going on the side. I love that. So let's see. Going through, we got so many questions in. How long have you been painting the human body to be so good at drawing it, says Ricardo de Imagincart.
Oh, here's the thing, because references is really important. Mm-hmm. And also I have these.
Ah, a little figure model.
Yeah, it really helps a lot. But especially like the gestures, like the references, models, like you can search that on Pinterest or Google. So yeah, it's like it's really not bad to use references.
References are helpful.
Really helpful. And then of course, like if you repeatedly do, for example, like that kind of pose, like if you repeatedly do that, like it will be natural to you over time. So I think that's why like artists like Art Germ, like he's really good at anatomy, because he was able to draw them, like draw a lot of like poses and gestures like so many times, and he's really good, so he's an art god.
Yes, one of those things that you always hear is the more you work on it, the more it just becomes something natural, right? Like all of us have drawn a square at one point. And at first, it probably took a while to figure out a square, but pretty soon you just draw a square really fast. And the same thing being said with like you said, Archer, now when they draw a face, it's like, boom, a face. I know how to draw this because they've put in so many hours of practice. So Victor Apollonio says, how did you learn to make use of color in your shadows and highlights?
I think that's a bit hard to answer. I think it's also because of the one that we always see, like, you know, like for example, like the movies. Like mm-hmm. how the shadow works, how the light works, or like just like photography. It's kind of photography pictures. Portraits, especially the portraits. Yeah, like portraits with lighting. Yeah, I see a lot of them, and then I study them, and I apply what I learned to my portrait artworks.
Yeah, so I think a very common theme is references are very helpful. Like, you know, everyone can look stuff up and really get some good learnings from it. And if you see something more stylized that you love, take that as a reference and learn from that. Because you can get some really cool ones with like neon lights, or ones that are in daylight, ones that are in dark, ones that are wherever. There's so many options if you look them up and study them. So Art by Polo wants to know, how did you discover your art style, and any tips on how a new artist can develop their own style or discover their own style?
Because art style is like a mix of like your interests and then like your inspiration. My art style is like what I said before, it's like semi-realistic because of my inspiration is JRPG games, mostly the graphics of Square Enix. So I wanted to achieve that semi-realistic style, and with the mix of like the feminine look, like the fantasy look with glitters and iridescence, holographic colors. It's also because of my collection when I was young, like full of Barbies, magical girl items. Yeah, I do collect them until now. Yeah, so that's where my art style like evolved.
And so you would recommend for them to develop their own, to start looking at their what inspires them and makes them happy.
Yes.
So Akia Star wants to know, how has living in the Philippines influenced your art?
I think it's more on the how you grew up, because when I was young, I had a lot of collection of Barbies and magical stuff, so that just, you know, it applied to my art style.
Yeah. So let's see. A lot of people, so I'm not going to say all their names, want to know who some of your biggest art inspirations are or artists that you look up to.
Number one is Arthur. Charlie Bowater.
Mm. Oh, her artwork's beautiful. All of her magic cards are so pretty.
Yeah. And then Loish. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those three are the first few artists that I'm seeing when I was starting doing art on DeviantArt. Like, I always see their artworks in the front page. Mm-hmm. And because Art Germs and Charlie Water's style is semi-realistic, so it inspired me more to achieve that goal of semi-realistic style.
That's awesome. All right, just a few more, and then we're going to wrap things up because it's already been almost an hour.
Oh!
Can you believe how fast this goes? I told you. You didn't believe me, but it really goes fast. Like, it's so much fun. So a lot of people are asking different recommendations for different apps or what you draw with or what sort of things they might need to get drawing on their own. So do you have any recommendations for, like, what you like to draw with or any apps that they might be able to use?
I think it depends, because nowadays people love to draw on iPad, the iPad Pro, on Procreate, because mm-hmm. It's very mobile. Like, you can bring it anywhere, and then like it's easier to draw in there. But I think for bigger illustrations, I think it's still best to draw in a tablet. I think they don't have to worry about if it's a screen tablet or just a drawing tablet, because any tablets, it will always, the piece or artwork it always depends on your skill. So I think they shouldn't worry too much about if they want a Cintiq or this normal tablet. Mm-hmm. But having a screen tablet will help you or will be more convenient.
Yeah.
It's just that skill still, you know, matters.
Yeah, you got to put in the time, no matter whether you're drawing, like you said, on a screen tablet or drawing on one where, you know, it's just the flat tablet and you're looking at the screen. Both take a lot of work to get comfortable with. So this is going to be our last question. And this one came in on our Instagram and I just loved it because I think it's fun. They want to know what Miss Sarah Fleur's motto is in life that made you an awesome galactic artist. And that's from Kenick Studio Z. So what is your motto in life that made you into an awesome galactic artist? Like if you had to say like one thing that like you would say that is like, you know, my catchphrase or my point of view is this, and that made me a good artist, what would it be? It's a tough question, really, but that's why we saved it.
Yeah,
for the
I'm
end.
Really not good at one.
I think based off of what we talked about today. Oh, go ahead, please. Yeah.
I think it's I'm really not good at like phrases, but your artworks defines what you are.
I love that. That's amazing. I love how you say you're not good at it and then you drop like the best knowledge that we've had. Like that is really good. I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to end it there. But it was so amazing for you to stay up so late, to brave the English language, to give such awesome inspiration and knowledge, and also just be great. Like, you were so good on this podcast. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. I'm sorry for my...
No, you did amazing. All right. Well, everyone, thank you for watching. Make sure to join in the caption contest. Make sure to like, follow, subscribe on all of the DeviantArt stuff. And where can people find you, Sarah Fleur, online to follow your work?
You can find me on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter. And I have Patreon, patreon.com/Sarah Fleur. That's it.
All right.
And of course, especially DeviantArt.
Of course, DeviantArt, right. That was a given. All right, well, thank you for joining us, everyone. All right, goodbye.